We are using the Rotherham. You will see, if anybody who's following along with the scriptures in here, you will see a very different translations for some of the scriptures that are in here. So I think it's really imperative to get to the point of having, can you see okay, Shauna? Mm-hmm. Yeah. To get to the point of having the Rotherham, download it if you need to from Telios Ministries, okay, if you need it, because it does make a difference here for us. All right, so we're going to start off here. The only thing more expensive than education is ignorance.
Yeah.
Now, you remember a while back ago I did the teaching on Proverbs, and I used Benjamin Franklin because of all of the stuff that he had, you know, poor Richard's almanac that he did. And so I have a couple of the ones here that I'm like, oh, this is perfect. This is perfect into it. So he had all these great little sayings that I'm like going, just, they're timeless. They're absolutely timeless. Next one. Half a truth is often a great lie. Mm-hmm. And that one, I'm like going, that fits. Whoa. Exactly. Okay, yep. So as we start looking into the Word and what's happened and what's taking place, Christianity is attacked all the time. It's continually being attacked. And so when we're trying to break through, we want the whole truth. We want it unfiltered. We want it poured out. Not what somebody says or somebody's interpretation or the traditions that have passed down. We want whole truths. Okay, and that's what this little sharing will be tonight, is called Speaking the Truth. So, let's start off here in Ephesians. And you see the page numbers are on here to help expedite this a little bit. New Testament, page 198. Chapter 4, verses 10 through 25. Alright, everybody there? I'll read this one here to start with. Okay? Starting in verse 10 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. He that descendeth, he it is also ascended over above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some indeed to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers, with a view to the fitting of the saints for a work of ministering, for an upbuilding of the body of the Christ, until we all advance into the oneness of the faith and of the personal knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, into a man of full growth. That's the teleos. So that's the whole goal, as we're looking through here as a Christian, is to get out of the childhood stage of Christianity up to the teleos. That's what Christ wants. That's what Yahweh wants for us, to be mature. Into the measure of the stature of our fullness of Christ, that ye may no longer be infants, billow tossed and shifted around with every wind of teaching and the craft of men, in knavery suited to the artifice of error. So this is it. That's where, when we're talking about that the craftiness of men, obviously it's an attack against Christ, but this is what we're looking at. The craftiness of men, and the craft of men, knavery suited to the artifice of error. So what is the whole point? The point is to break free from this error, break free from these traditions of men, okay? By pursuing what?
Truth.
Okay? May in love grow in him in all things who is the head, Christ, unto whom all the body fitly framing itself together and connecting itself through means of every joint of supply by way of energizing in the measure of a single part, secureth of the growing of the body unto the upbuilding of itself in love. And we're going all the way to 25. This therefore am I saying and protesting in the Lord, that no longer ye walk even as the nations walk, in the vanity of their minds, being darkened of their understanding, alienated from the life of God, or Yahweh, by reasons of the ignorance that existeth within them, by reason of their hearts being turned into stone, who indeed, having become past feeling, have delivered themselves up in the wantonness, unto making a trade of the impurity with greed. Ye, however, have not this learned the Christ. If at least it is him ye have heard, and in him have ye been taught, even as the truth is in Yahushua, that ye were to strip off as regardeth the former behavior, the old man who corrupteth himself according to his deceitful covetings, and where to be getting young again in the spirit of your mind, and where to put on the man of new mold, who after Yahweh hath been created in his truth. truthful righteousness, and said, loving kindness. Wherefore, stripping off what is false, be speaking truth, each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be ye angry. I'm sorry, that's it. That was the end of it. Okay, that was the 25, okay? So be speaking the truth. That's where we're going to stop here for that. Be speaking the truth. And so the truth is not in a lot of people, because a lot of people have taken the traditions. A lot of people do not use the word as their foundation. So here we go. Here's a little story I thought was kind of a funny one. A dad and his young son are getting ready to brush teeth in the morning. And the son goes to get the toothbrush off the little thing that's on the vanity. He fumbles it, and the next thing you hear is boop. So the dad's like, kid's like, what? And so dad goes and fishes the toothbrush out, and he doesn't want to put it in the bathroom toilet or bathroom sink for fear that somebody might thought that it just fell off and put it back. So he carries it to the kitchen and throws in the kitchen trash, and then gets another, you know, spare toothbrush for the son. Son brushes teeth. Dad goes in the kitchen, starts getting his cup of coffee. A few minutes later, kid comes in, and he's got dad's toothbrush. And he's throwing dad's toothbrush in the kitchen. And he goes, no, son, we don't need to do that. And he goes, no, dad, it's okay. Yours went in a couple of days ago. Like, okay, good, truthful kid. Okay, anyway, speaking the truth, the first part of this is the definition of this is when we're looking at the mouth, okay? The mouth, as you look at this, and there's a lot of things on there where they refer to it almost as an organ, okay? That this is the mouth puts out and the mouth takes in. So when you're taking in your eating or digesting, how many times does it say that I feed upon this, and it's referring to words or teachings, okay, that they feed upon this. So the mouth will ingest, and so if you're ingesting poison, what's that going to do to your body? Okay. Same thing if your mouth also is the organ that speaks. Same thing. If it is pushing out poison, it's going to distribute poison. And so when we refer to this as speaking the truth, we're referring to the mouth, and it's for taking in and for putting out, both directions. All right, so here we go. Let's flip over to Yehoshua, and that is on page 236 of the Old Testament. So a good long way. See that there? That's how much it is, right there. cool glasses, dude. Digging them. Okay.
Dollar Tree.
Sweet. Bargains everywhere. Okay. 1 verses 7 through 8. Who would like to read this for me?
I will.
Okay, go for it.
Only be firm and bold, taking heed to the according to all the law, as Moses my servant commanded thee, and not turn aside there from the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This scroll of the law must not cease out of thy mouth, but thou must take to thyself therein day and night, that thou mayest take heed to the according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make the way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success.
That's it. And this is it. Remember, this is the information before we cross in the promised land. And so what does it tell us to do? It tells us to speak to ourselves. Okay? So when you see people talking to themselves, don't immediately think they're crazy. Yahweh says, it's okay. Speak to yourself. And it says that the scroll needs to be in their mouth. Okay? That thou must prosper. The scroll of the law must not cease out of thy mouth. Okay? So this is twofold. I would say that's taking in so that you would know the scroll, and speaking out so that you distribute the scroll is what we're referring to here. So this is it, speaking the truth. And why was this so important? We're going into the promised land. They had no idea what they were in for except what was written and what was told to them, what was prophesied. It's going to be great. We got to do a little bit of cleaning type of deal. We're going to get in there. But Yahweh, this is his warning over and over again. Heed the scroll. Heed my word. You'll have good success. Don't, and things will not be good. And so this was it. But this was a big change. It was a real big change for these people. So the first point that we're going to look at here is speaking the truth is obedience. By filling our mouths with what is true, right, noble, pure, our minds and emotions will follow. Okay? So this is the portion of filling it. So what we're taking in, if we are taking in good stuff will come back out. Okay? That's point number one. This one here was the author unknown, but one step forward in obedience is worth years of studying about it. And I was thinking about that. I'm thinking about all these college professors that are teaching business, you know, that graduated and immediately went back to teaching and never run a business. And I'm like going, isn't that interesting? You know, I would think that the person who ran the business coming in with the experience would be the one you'd want to talk to. But this is what we're talking to. Obedience. Not knowing what it is, but implying it, putting it into action. Hey. Well done, better than well said. Okay, another Benny Franklin there. Speaking the truth, next point. Okay, affirms your faith. Okay, how do we get salvation? Okay, we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart. Okay, so why is it important that we say this? Why is it important that we confess with our mouth? Yeah, it's spoken. It is coming out. It is coming out. And so when we talk about this, when we're doing this, when we're speaking the truth, that when somebody wants to, do you have salvation? Okay, that came up with somebody this week. Said, well, have you done Romans 10:9-10? I'm not sure. I said, well, let's go to it. Have you done this? I don't think so. Well, let's do it. Okay, this is real easy. Confess with your mouth. You open your mouth, okay, and you believe with your heart. And that's how this all starts. So, next one here. Hence, our faith cometh by something heard, and that which is heard through the declaration of Christ. So, again, two-way. Speaking and something heard, okay, that you're ingesting it as well. Okay, that you're feeding upon it. By speaking the word, we reinforce the faith in ourselves, others, through the power of Yahweh's word. Okay, and then here, why don't you read this for me, Mel? Would you? That's Romans 10:14.
How then shall men call upon one whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in one whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without one to proclaim?
That's it, for one to proclaim. And so that's it, to proclaim. And so again, when we're talking about speaking the truth, we are talking about getting it out where people don't know the truth. Most people you run into don't have a clue about very, very elementary portions of the Bible, to include pastors, have very, very elementary knowledge of what the Word actually does say. Okay, and when you start talking about truth, it boggles their mind, and then they have to refer back to, well, what was taught in seminary. Okay, and so this is where we're breaking through that. Okay, the very beginning, the very first verse we did. To become full grown or teleos, most people need to hear the spoken word before they're able to move. And so this is where we have to look at it. It does not require it. If somebody has the gumption and wants to open up the word and they have a hunger for it, they're going to search out and they're going to find. But I can tell you, they will probably inquire within people as they start going through it, because there will be things that they are searching out. And so this is where we, as being able to speak the truth and know the truth, and I look at our body, our group of people is, you know, so much more teleos than pastors that have been running mega churches. Okay, and so this is where we're looking at that, to be able to do that, to be able to speak and to bring these people to a higher level. Speaking the truth, next point, empowers us through praise. Okay, so there is power in this when we're speaking truth to bring ourselves out of a gutter, or to empower ourselves. Okay? Overcomes opposition. Sword of the Spirit, which is what Yahweh has spoken. Okay? And that's Ephesians 6:17. Flip over to Psalms, page 564. Chapter 71. All right, 71 verses 4 through 17. It's not going to be up on the screen. Who would like to read this? One of the other kids want to read that?
I'll read it.
Okay, thank you.
4 through 17.
4 through 17, please.
O my Elohim, deliver me from the hand of the lawless one, from the clutch of the perverse and ruthless one. For thou art my hope, my Lord Yahweh, my confidence from my youthful days. Upon thee have I stayed myself from birth. Thou art he that served me from the body of my mother. Of thee shall be my praise continually. A very wonder have I been unto many, seeing that thou hast been my strong refuge. My mouth shall be filled with thy praise all the day with thy splendor. Do not cast me off in the time of old age, when my vigor faileth. Do not forsake me, for mine enemies have spoken of me, and they who watch for my life have taken counsel together, saying, Yahweh hath forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to rescue. O Elohim, be not far from me. O Elohim, be to help me make haste. Let them be ashamed, he consumed, who are assailing my life. Let them be covered with reproach and confusion, who are seeking my hurt. But I continually will hope and will add to all thy praise. My mouth shall relate thy righteousness all the day, thy deliverance. For I know not the numbers. I will enter unto the mighty doings of my Lord Yahweh. I will make mention of thy righteousness thine alone. O Yahweh, thou hast taught me from my youthful days, and hitherto have I been wont to tell of thy wonders.
Okay, that's excellent. And so what you see here is throughout this persecution, great persecution, and what's David doing? I can see him speaking verbally to Yahweh as he's doing this, as he's, you know, on his knees crying out to Yahweh as he's saying these things. A couple things here to draw attention to. Okay, to start with, you know, let's say that I forgot our anniversary, for example. And Donna's like going, you forgot our anniversary. I'm like, oh no, I mentioned it. You'd be like going, what? Okay. If you look at, I will make mention in verse 16, mention of, okay. Look down below and see what that word is. Celebrate. Okay. In our language, making mention of and celebrate are not anywhere in the same, you know, category. Okay. That I will celebrate thy righteousness, thine alone. Okay. And so this is what he's saying. And he's telling him that my mouth in verse 15, my mouth shall relate thy righteousness. And I put a couple of them on here as I go through there. My mouth shall relate thy righteousness all the day thy deliverance. And so this is what he's saying. My mouth. What is my mouth doing? This is what my mouth's going to do. Regardless of circumstance, that this is what's taking place, that I'm going to continually saying this out. I think to myself, when it talks about that you're speaking to yourself, that, yeah, I'm speaking to Yahweh, and I may say it out loud, and somebody may hear me and think that I'm kind of weird, but I'm like, oh no, that actual moving of air and speaking to Yahweh, I think is important, is very important, even if it's one-on-one or in a prayer with somebody else. Next point, keeps perversity put away, okay? Proverbs 4:23-27, who would like to read that? You want to read that? Go ahead.
Above all that must be guarded, keep thou thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Remove from thee
perverseness
of mouth and craftiness of lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes right onward look, and thine eyelashes point straight before thee. Make level the track of thy foot, that all the ways may be directed all right. Decline not to the right hand or to the left.
Okay. And so again, when we're talking about things entering in the body and things leaving the body, we're talking about the perverseness of the mouth and craftiness of the lips, okay? And above all, keep guarded, okay, thy heart, because what comes from the heart is what will manifest through your doings or your mouth, okay? David, what David says here is, and this is Psalm 39:1, I said to myself, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will put on my mouth a muzzle, so long as the lawless is before me. Okay? And so that's it. That's where we're looking with our tongue. Being, again, we know that it's the rudder. Okay? It's the rudder of a ship, and so it's the rudder of our lives. What comes out of our mouth, what comes into our mouth, okay, is going to steer the body. And so when we're saying these things, and you're hearing yourself, and you're like going, did I just say that? I cannot believe that just uttered out of my mouth. I'm like going, okay, strike that from the record. That's got to be taken away. Sorry for that, Yahweh, and I reclaim it. And it's simple things, you know, like at work. Well, everybody's getting sick. Okay. Yeah, everybody's getting sick. Well, you just confessed it. Yeah. And so these are the type of things, but it can be much worse than that. The perverseness of things, where, you know, bad stories, bad things, these things that you're taking in. The same thing is when people say that, you know, the mouth takes in, that you're eating it. Okay. That is a figurative speech. Say, you are not eating the word, but you are reading it. OK, okay? You are hearing it. You are taking it internally. So by watching stuff, by seeing things that you're taking in internally, this is the same way. You would consider it that's your mouth, that you are taking that in and you're ingesting it into your body. Same thing. So anybody know what that is? So that is a beaker, okay? And when you kids have to do physics and chemistry and stuff, you guys will play around with those. They're kind of fun, actually. Anyways, think about this. Think about if carbon monoxide is down in the bottom of this, okay? Carbon monoxide is down in the bottom, and it's sitting down there. And I don't know if carbon monoxide is heavier than air or not. I think it is, but I'm just for speculation, we're going to say that it is. And so it stays down at the bottom of this. And so it's kind of stuck down in this beaker. And so what do? If say that this beaker is on the floor of your garage and the carbon dioxide from your car just keeps going inside of it, keeps going inside of it, it's not coming out. Okay, it's not coming out. And so there's one way to prevent that, and that's to fill it with something else. So the carbon monoxide cannot enter into it. And so think of that for our bodies, that if we are filling it with something else to stop the other things from coming in, because we're subject to them everywhere we go. All the time, things are being put in there. You can literally turn around and there will be something that you're like going, not even close to being in my mind process. And now here it is and I have to deal with it. And I'm like going, where the heck did that just come from? And it can be some symbol, a sign. a TV commercial. It could be anything. And all of a sudden, I just got distracted. Yeah. And I'm like going, ah! You know, and your mind will start to wander. You're like going, oh, stop. Just stop. And that's where you're like going, okay, immediately pour it out. And it's the same thing when you think about a fire. You remove the elements that create it and hold it. You remove an element, it goes away. It goes away. And so it's the exact same thing. So with that, when we're seeking that, the perversity, if we can fill it with the righteous, it will prevent the perversity from entering in. Okay, next one, next point. Speaking the truth. A heart overflowing with treasures. So flip over to Matthew. Page 12. Page 12, chapter 12, 33 through 37. I will read these. Everybody down? All right, here we go, 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree worthless and the fruit worthless. He's like going, well, that makes pretty good sense. Yeah, it makes pretty good sense. But the problem is when you look at it, you're like going, well, what's my fruit? You know, like, okay, is my fruit good? Is it minimal? Is there any fruit? Okay, is there any fruit coming out there? What did Christ do to the tree? The tree didn't offend him, but it was supposed to produce fruit, and it didn't. Okay? It wasn't producing bad fruit, it was producing no fruit. Okay, no fruit. So, okay, from the fruit of the trees is known, brood of vipers, how can ye speak good things being evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The good man out of the good treasure putteth forth good things. And the evil man out of the evil treasure putteth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every useless expression that men shall utter, they shall render concerning it an account in a day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. Okay? And so again, it's a two-way thing. Think of it as it's a sword that can cut both directions. And as long as you're swinging that sword in righteousness, great, let it cut in both directions. But it can be a trouble thing for us as well. And it can lead a body, by things that are being said, can lead a body away. Okay, speaking the truth, next point, inspires and influences. And same thing, just like we talked about pros and cons, we're doing the exact same thing, good and bad. So if I inspire somebody into something wicked or false teachings, okay, very bad. Okay? If I influence somebody in the same thing, if I influence somebody in the ways of Christianity, and they look and they say, you know, you look like you live a good life, and I see the way you are, what's your secret? Okay, that's an influence, it's good. And so you are inspiring and influencing people whether you know it or not, whether you ask to or not, it's happening. And it's either going to be good or bad, or it's going to be an indifferent, okay? What we're talking about is when we're doing speaking the truth, is we want the inspiration and influences to be positive, obviously. Okay, so this is Proverbs 10, 11 through 14, and I'll read this. A wellspring of life is the mouth of righteousness. And so again, when referring to the mouth, this is it. A wellspring of life is the mouth of righteousness. It brings about healing, brings about everything. A wellspring, it satisfies, okay? By the mouth of the lawless covereth wrong. Hatred stirreth up strife, but over all transgressions, love throweth the covering. In the lips of the intelligence is found wisdom, but a rod for the back of him that lacketh sense. Think about that with what's his face getting smacked in the right outside the restaurant there in Dumb and Dumber. A couple of ignoramuses. Wise men treasureth up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is a terror near at hand. Okay, so as I went through and was putting this together, I was thinking about that, and it brought me back. It reminded me immediately of when I was in Okinawa. We used to have to get our cars inspected every 2 years, and you could not have rust. They had this fine point hammer, and they would tap on something that looked like rust. Well, if it was not strong, it was going to go through it. It would pop a hole through it, and then they'd look at you and say, "You got to get that fixed. It's rust." So it was a saltwater, or you were on an island in the middle of the ocean, you get rust. And so I'm like, "Well, I can fix this myself." So I get my sander out and I sanded down most of it. Okay, and then I'm like, I'm getting bored with this. It's a hot day. This is not really fun anymore. So I slapped some Bondo on that booger, spray painted it. Okay. And it passed the inspection. And then a few months later, the paint started to turn brown. And what I covered over the top of that was still festering underneath because I did not get rid of it. That rust has to be all the way cut out. And so I learned a valuable lesson. I had to get rid of it all. There had to be no rust. It had to be ground down or else it would just keep growing underneath. So covering it up was very short term, okay? And so again, I think about it this way. It shows a covering for good, covering for bad. Influence, next point. Reactions to thoughts and problems. And so this is a big one. Everybody that you come in contact with, that you're going to be in contact with for any period of time, you're going to run into reactions of thoughts and problems. Deaths, things that happen, sicknesses, illnesses, crashes, people getting fired. There's always something's going to be happening, and people are looking for answers. And guess what? The people who normally don't have answers or wrong answers are the first one to offer those up. Okay, they're in a better place. Okay, God does everything for a reason. Okay, all these things, those are the first things and responses that come out. And the truth sets us free. And so speaking the truth and be ready to speak the truth. I'm going to do a teaching here probably in a month or two, and it's going to be questions that are asked, and I'll pose these. Okay, here's the question. What's the response? Okay, what's the response? And I think we should almost have that almost as a cheat sheet. Okay, I don't do this every day. And so when it comes up, I need to be ready, and I need to be able to go to it to show exactly the word. Don't take my word for it. First of all, do you believe this? If you don't, well, then that gives us a good starting point of where we need to start that conversation. If you do believe this, then let's use this as our definitions. Let's use this for all direction to go from there. But to be able to do this. So reactions to thoughts and problems. So speaking the truth is imperative because all the garbage that comes out that they'll hear from multiple people, they'll hear it over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden it becomes, oh, it must be true. And then why would he do that? If he's in charge, why would he do that to me? What did I do to you? Okay, and so that's where we need to be able to speak the truth. The foolish chatter will not elevate or bring honor to Yahweh. Let's go to Malachi. Okay, to the right, page 913, way back, I'm sorry, to the left. It's the last one, the very back of the Old Testament. I can find it, I know I have it marked here somewhere. There it is, okay. Will somebody read this for me, please? Chapter 2, 6, and 7.
The deliverance of truth is in his mouth, and perverseness was not found in his lips. In well-doing and in uprightness walked he with me, and multitudes did he turn from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and a deliverance should men seek at his mouth. For the messenger of Yahweh of hosts, he is.
That is it. That's exactly right. Okay? And the deliverance of truth, there you see in chapter 6 there, the deliverance of truth is the instruction or law that we're referring to. The deliverance of truth. That's the instruction. That's Yahweh's word. And so you see this, for the lips of a priest, okay, or a proclaimer should be to keep knowledge, okay, and deliverance, it should come with it. And so that's where for us is to be ready and to know and to be able to speak the truth. And it's never a problem to be like, I'm not sure I can get back with you. We'll look that up. We'll kind of discover this together. Okay, speaking the truth, next point, an encouragement for others. Okay, flip over to Psalms 40, page 548. This will be 40, verse 3 through 5. I'll read this. Page 548, top right, verse 3. Then put he into my mouth a new song. Praise be to our Elohim. Many shall see and revere and shall trust in Yahweh. How happy the man who hath made Yahweh his confidence, who hath not turned unto the haughty, nor gone aside unto falsehood. Mighty things hast thou done, thou Yahweh my Elohim. Thy wonderful doings and thy purpose towards us, there is no setting them in order unto thee. I would tell and would speak. They are too great to rehearse. Okay? And this is where we should be. It should always be one of the things that the praise should be just flowing out of us all the time. Even when you're in a crappy mood, things are going bad, that if people see us and we're continually praising, why are you in a good mood? Well, you know what? Actually, some bad things have happened, but let me explain to you. Okay? To be able to do that, praise should be pouring out of it, oozing out of our pores like a sieve, okay, that keeps getting poured into. Okay? Building and demolition. Again, as we're discussing these, pros and cons. Building the Tower of Babel. Bad. Building idolatry. Okay? Statues. You know, the wooden statues, the carvings, all the things. Bad. Okay? Demolition of those, very good. So when we're building towards Yahweh's inheritance or Christ's inheritance, okay, very good. The demolition. The problem is this, you're going to be doing both every single day. Okay? Demolishing the false words, the false teachings. That's where you're going to demolish those. And it's going to give you the opportunity to build on the foundation that Yahweh has as you're doing that. So you're going to be demolishing and building, possibly in the exact same conversation with people as you're discussing, to break through all the clutter and then to start building upon that. And so this is where we look at it. Again, with our influences, are we building or are we demolishing for Yahweh? Second law of thermodynamics. This is not what this is supposed to be, by the way. Hold on just a second. Sorry. It's not the picture that's supposed to be on there. That's kind of weird. Just did that one. There we go. Okay. I was going to say there, it's a, you see in the background of that picture that it's a huge, huge fire going on, and it's all of the stuff, the things that are burning up. And you know that with pine trees, the pine trees, when they drop their cones, basically will reside until fire comes and it gets hot enough to crack them open.
Yeah.
So it also does a lot of destruction, but it also brings about good things. And so when we're looking at building and demolishing, a lot of times it's easy when you hear those false things to, is this the time? Is this the place? And it may or may not be. You can, you know, inquire with Yahweh. Is this time to talk about it? Is it not the time? But to let those things go, sometimes you're like going, should I quench this fire? Should I not let this thing burn? What do I do, Yahweh? So again, good or bad with that second law of thermodynamics. Okay? If you listen to some of the old CS teachings, they did a thing on that thermodynamics. And basically what this refers to is this. If you leave something, let's say I bought a house and I bought a house in Cheney, okay, way out in the woods, and I put a nice yard in there, the house is all nice, got power, got electricity, and then I don't come back to that house for 10 years, okay, what condition do I expect that house to be in? Okay, I go into it, it's yards overgrown, there's no resemblance of grass, trees have taken over, weeds have taken over, I go inside the house, a water leak took place, dumped water everywhere, rotten stuff, mold everywhere. Okay, the law of thermodynamics states that things don't improve as time goes on. We're talking about physical things, material things. Okay, they're eternal. So the same way I look at this, if we are not taking care of and mending to the Word with our lives, then what's going to happen is we can expect things to degrade. Things are going to fall down. Things are going to fall apart. You're not going to remember those things. This is a maintenance program that's a daily in and out type thing. And so thermodynamics is partially a universal law of decay, the ultimate cause of why everything ultimately fails apart and disintegrates over time. Material things are not eternal. Everything appears to change eventually, and chaos increases. This is not a biblical thing. This is a scientific definition of that. Okay, when I'm talking about that with our lives, what did Christ say about that? What do you hold? What's your treasure? Okay, what's your treasure? If your treasure is the things of this earth that will rot, that will mold, that will turn to dust, that the moths will eat, then this is what we're looking at. It has to be maintained. Building and demolition is continual. Okay? In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore be consoling one another and building up each other, even as you are also doing. Okay, the consoling one another, I think about that also as a maintenance within a group of people, of believers, that you are working together to make sure that everybody is increasing, that everybody's growing, that we're speaking the truth, that things are being maintained, that if somebody is having problems, having difficulties, this is the time to be able to, hey, we're consoling one another. How are things? Everything going good? Anything you need? These types of things to be able to hold each other up, speak the truth, because if one person is falling, it can drag down even more people. And another person may be like going, how come nobody's here to help? Okay, nobody's here to help. So again, that's what we're looking at this for. Okay, last one here. Let's finish here in Colossians 3:16. Okay, page 207. Once we get there, 207, if somebody would like to read that for me, verse 16, please. Okay.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, be teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts.
With gratitude, raising song with your heart unto Yahweh. That's it. Okay, and so when we look at this, this kind of sums everything up right there. Okay, everything up there the admonishing is also when you are, that can be demolishing somebody's wicked ways, a close friend or member of a family. If you're demolishing their wicked ways, that's not comfortable. Well, yes, it's not. Okay, but it's keeping you from falling into a giant hole that I see you're headed to. As a matter of fact, a lot of people see you're headed to, except for you. Okay, and so this is where we're doing this, to admonish each other. The other thing is to help to build up, to edify, okay? And so when we see this here, this is what we're referring to admonishing one another and to be full of grace and gratitude. Okay, last one here, the last thing, if it will come up. I don't know why this does it sometimes. Hide not your talents. They for use were made, what's a sundial in the shade, okay? And that's how Yahweh looks at us, okay? I've given you the power, I've given you the strength. Don't put this in the garage and leave it until maybe someday when you need it. Exercise it and use it, and that's the maintenance, because guess what? Same thing with the thermodynamics. If we are not exercising it, what is happening to the use of that? Okay, it's going to decay. Now, it can be brought back quickly, but the whole thing is to be ready to use it. You don't want to, it's like me with my mower. I don't want to pull my mower out to use it when the grass is like it is right now and it has problems.
Yeah.
Oh boy, bad time for that. Bad time. So it's the same way with us, not to put it in the shade. Okay, if it will do the last one, I don't know why it's... it's kind of acting funny, but that's fine. Okay. Well, it's missing a slide, but that's all right. Okay, I will go ahead and end, and we'll have a prophecy for those who are watching. Yahweh, we thank you for all those here. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your instruction. We thank you for those that have gone before us, Yahweh, that we can read about, that there are wonderful stories of great men that stood with you and stood for you, and men that absolutely stood against you. And so as we read these are for us to learn and to us to be able to see. And so it's not just the stories of the great men, but it's men that were against you. And so as we read these, that we can learn from the history, that we do not repeat these things, and that we can see what their weaknesses and what their error were, so that we can steer clear from these things, and that we can remove the perverseness from our lives and walk in accordance with your steps and your will, and set ourselves apart, that we may be able to be holy unto you, Yahweh, and that we are great servants to you, Christ, that we come before you every day asking for, you know, your servant is here. Call upon me that as we do these things that you will call upon us, for there's much to be done. So we thank you for this. We thank you for renewing and encouraging in our lives continually, that we may be able to do it to each other, that we may be able to just walk out in great boldness for his well-pleasing, for you to see us just to manifest the great faith. So we thank you for it. We thank you for the words that you speak to us continually. I just come before you in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, that I am proud of the stance that you've taken, and I am proud of the relationship that I have within you, that I may be able to speak to you, and that it is not when you took upon me, and when you receive salvation, that you have now within you the ability to communicate within me. So call upon me that I may be able to speak to you, and that as you are repenting and you are being forgiven as well. And so improve upon these things and improve open the words that I have put before you, that I will stir within you continually as you allow. For if you will not allow for me to stir within you, that it will shut off. But I am there to when you are ready. So call upon me that I may ignite within you and blow upon the embers which I have already placed upon you, that I may burn bright within you. Thank you. All right. Amen. We will see you next Wednesday.